This is Transistor.fm.
Hey, friend, a couple of housekeeping things before we jump in. First off, thank you so much for the massive response to episode one. That was really encouraging. If you're wondering where to interact with us about or all things to do with this show, Twitter is kind of where we hang out the most and where we're appreciating the conversations we're having with you. So we shared our test episode originally on Twitter, and the responses we got were really helpful for shaping things going forward. And Jesse and I are still experimenting with the format and how much of our conversations to chop down to keep it moving forward, because we definitely do take a lot of rabbit trails. So thank you for your feedback so far. It's really helpful for how things are shaped going forward. If you have topics you'd love us to cover or just questions in general, use hashtag MakeStuffClub on Twitter, and we will do our best to address them either directly on Twitter or right here in the show. This episode, we are sponsoring ourselves to make sure that you know about Jesse's online course that he's made with the folks over at Moment. This course is super rad, and it covers all things short form video. Jesse covers his entire video creation process, and let me just tell you, this is totally worth your time. So stick around throughout the show, because we've got a special discount code just for the listeners of the Make Stuff Club.
Almost all of my progressions, almost all the reasons that I switch up what kind of videos I'm making, or I shift gears or I jump platforms, is almost never because I think it's a smart business move. It's almost always because I'm exhausted of the thing I was doing before.
Hey, friend, welcome to the Make Stuff Club, the show for dysfunctional creatives, where the goal is simple: make good stuff, make some money, and as much as possible, avoid self-sabotaging your work, your relationships, and your life in the process.
That sounds ideal. I would love to make some money and not ruin my whole life.
I'm joined by Jesse Driftwood, fellow maker of internet videos, donut connoisseur, and one wheel professional.
I'm barely a donut connoisseur. I'll eat donuts.
We're in your hometown.
Yep.
I drove here in my van. Getting a glimpse into your chaotic world is amazing.
That's one word.
It's one thing to see the finished things that people make and go, I like that. Right. Those are good things. And then as you're watching them, as someone who makes things like in the same genre or medium, you make videos, I make videos, I imagine what it would be like to be you making them. I can't help myself. When I watch shows, movies, we ruin things for our significant others because we keep stopping the movies to talk about how they're made.
They did it. Yeah.
It's inseparable almost. It's hard to turn it off unless it just so captures you. And when I watched your videos, I had a sense of what it was like to make them or what you looked like when you were making them.
Well, I mean, I've even noticed this because we've been working on some videos for me. We've been working on some videos for you. And I think what's interesting is that the process is so different.
It is.
And I just assume, when I look at someone's video, I'm like, how did they make that? Because my brain goes, here's the way I make videos. And it seems impossible with the way I make videos to make that video, whatever someone else's video is.
Yes.
And the truth is that it probably is.
Probably is.
Yeah.
And I got a glimpse of that first in New York City when we actually met in person after just being DM buddies for a while.
DM buddies.
How would you say what
I'd call
we
us
were?
Internet friends.
Internet friends.
Yeah.
And then we became running buddies because we would call while we were running. And we were having conversations on those runs that I wasn't having with anyone around me physically in my life at that time. Like the other people that are doing ventures where they're trying to make things they like, it's hard to meet with those people and actually just be real.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, when we started doing those runs, I was just in the thick of trying to stop shooting weddings. But I still had 15 I needed to edit and 5 more I needed to shoot. But I knew I was leaving, and we would just talk through on the phone. I think I just wanted someone to whine to. I just think I wanted to complain to someone, because everyone in my immediate life that I would talk to is like, yeah, we get it. You don't like weddings anymore.
And those conversations can be so pivotable. they can be how you adapt to where you're going next. And I've wished in the past that when I hear other people having conversations in kind of these published, formalized forms, like a podcast, I'm hearing them and I'm kind of going in my head, I don't feel similar in a sense to the way that some other people have talked about the way they go about what it is they do. I just go, man, it's a lot more of a struggle for me. And I can't really relate to this clean, simple, refined process
And it makes me feel just inadequate. It makes me feel broken. It makes me feel just like I'm not doing life right.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Even when I was in the thick of weddings, I saw other people running their wedding businesses. And
with hired shooters, hired editors, studios.
Exactly. And there's that natural comparison where you're like, well, what am I doing wrong? Why is like editing this wedding such a struggle for me? Why is just trying to stay in some sort of like creative flow state feel so impossible? Yeah. And then usually when I feel that, I'm like, well, then I'm either not cut out for it or I'm just doing it wrong. So either I have to fix the process because it's broken, or I have to flee. I have to escape the whole process.
And most of those headspaces involve with not appreciating certain qualities about yourself, where you end up, I end up in places where I don't feel like I'm healthy mentally because I'm just looking down on every aspect of myself. Hmm. And edging into the late 20s.
Early 30s.
I'm starting to feel that sense of those things that I was working on when I was 13, 16, 19, and I thought I'd have figured out in my 20s, I'm almost, 20s are running out. And they're still here.
Yeah.
Still month to month, season to season, I'm ending up at this place where I'm confronted by the same aspects of me. And I'm kind of done with being in this headspace of I'm bad because I have those. Mm. That's kind of, it's the ingredients of my life that I have to work with at this point. And I don't think self-loathing myself that I'm not more like someone else is going to be the answer that will bring me to a healthier place of actually making things I like.
Yeah, wherever you go, there you are.
Would you say that the space that you've been doing different projects or ventures, as in your Instagram daily stories, the wedding business that you started, is that using up a resource that you only have so much of in any given month or year?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know if it's a finite resource necessarily, but it feels like that because you feel that like I'm running out, right? It feels like there's like a runway, and you either, that's the exact metaphor that it felt like. There's like a runway, and the whole time, especially with weddings, I felt like I'm starting my business, I'm trying to get it off the ground, and I'm just running and running, and I can see the runway coming to an end, and it's like I either have to fly and become someone who looks on the outside like they've got it all figured out, I've got this creative flow and these processes, and I always know what I'm doing, and I always know what's ahead of me. But I always just feel like that time is running out and that I've never really gotten it to the place where I'm like, I'm soaring. So maybe it is a finite resource.
I feel as though most times I'm operating close-ish to my max video output. Hmm. And if I had more margin to be working on more videos, I would fill it. Oftentimes I'm in a space of, I am behind where I want to be on my own projects, then also on the projects I'm doing for other people. And then also the videos that I'm doing for internet stuff, which is a whole other category. I just feel like there's a limited amount of creative headspace. There's only so many videos I can be editing at one given time. I can't edit a dozen. Yeah. When a video is being edited by me, it consumes my brain. I'm thinking about it at the dinner table. I'm thinking about it when I wake up. When I can't fall asleep at night, it's there. It just follows me, and I can't turn that off or on. And when a client is going, hey, could you just do a quick video for us? It'll be no problem. What I don't do a good job of communicating is I actually can't do a good job of the dialed back version. I can't disengage aspects of my brain and go, I will just do this at a 4 out of 10.
Right, a 40% capacity or something like that.
Because I can't help but like want to do it good.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And when your skill set has grown, your ability to do it at a certain level of good is increased. Mm-hmm. And so you want to keep hitting that. When you want to set up a podcast shot like this, you're annoyed that the lighting isn't perfect because you know it could be better.
Yeah. Even I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, this could be better.
It could be better,
but
for
sure.
But
I didn't set it up, so.
And the rule we created for this, mm-hmm, to actually get it going was what quality level?
What would it say? 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10. And the reason for that is we are video people.
Yeah.
And most of our video efforts are already spent in a given month.
Yeah, I relate so much to this feeling of like being obsessed over a project, yeah. but not in a sense where like I'm running out of time necessarily. It's like I'm running out of brain space. So when someone's, mm-hmm, like, hey, can I just like pick your brain on this one specific topic? Kevin was just here at the studio and he was laughing. I had like 8 unread messages from numbers I hadn't saved. Like, oh, just one more thing. Hey, could we, I would love to get, you know.
Yes.
So the issue that I run into isn't that I don't have the physical time to maybe shoot a project or make a new video or something like that. It's I don't have space in my brain to even start considering what even, you know, a low effort video might look like. So I'll have friends that are just like, I just need a headshot as an example. And my brain doesn't go, yeah, easy, I'll just snap a photo. My brain goes, headshots, okay. Well, I don't want it to look like any old headshot, right? So what kind of like, what's the backdrop? What's the vibe I'm going for? How would I want to light this? You know, yeah. I've had this idea for a lighting scenario, right? And then all of a sudden, all those thoughts that happen almost automatically, right? The gears have started turning and that's just a thing. It's almost like I'm witnessing the thoughts happen to my head. Has now taken that much mental space away from the videos that I'm already working on. And so I'll leave all these messages unread because as soon as I open it, I know that I've opened it into 1,000 different questions in my head. And then in doing that, I've closed the door on a bunch of other things. That's why I have so many unfinished videos. Because
you do?
Yeah, I've got lots of unfinished videos.
Like some examples.
I made a video from when Levi was born, my baby Levi. I didn't finish that. I've got several vlogs.
Wait. I thought I was your baby Levi. I'm confused here.
I made that one video with my baby Levi.
Hey.
But literally my actual baby named Levi.
I'm so glad I didn't ruin that name for you.
I'm so glad that you didn't ruin it also.
I'm also just completely honored that you named your child after me.
That, you know, the backup name was Alan.
I love
no,
this.
No, that's not true. A vlog that I shot with Emma and Dorothy before Levi was born. I didn't finish. And these are like, probably 7 minutes of edited video, like 7 minutes of finished video.
Oh, you've even started working on
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Long in. But then I start other projects or a client didn't, you know, if something takes more precedent or if I accidentally open that mental door for that headshot or that whatever, I am saying no to those other projects.
It's true. Sometimes people that look at our work on the internet, because it's so public and people click the follow buttons, they opt to see what we make. And they would go, hey, we like what you make. It seems as if you're getting paid to do it. I would like to ask you questions about how to do that as well. Mm-hmm. That is a, you get those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And oftentimes people will wonder, how do I get into doing this? How do I get into doing this? How do I get paid? How do I get paid? And my biggest fear for people is that they will start consuming up that resource of video creating ability. They'll spend it all on videos that they don't care about and they'll have none left for what would actually give them the joy.
Yeah.
And this is the danger of trying to make a living out of your passion is that then you kill it. It's the classic example.
Mm. That's exactly right. It's almost like there's this pendulum and on one side is creative fulfillment and on the other side is functional business.
Yes.
And I swing between the two constantly. Mm-hmm. And the more I leaned into weddings, the more I realize if I want this to be a functional business, if I want it to be sustainable, then I actually do have to pull some of that creative fulfillment out of it because I have to be okay with every video not being some like reinvented, you know, this masterpiece of a whatever.
Yeah.
Because efficiency when you're running a business is much more important. The clients would rather the video be 80% of the way there, but 2 weeks sooner.
And your creative fulfillment would be tough to satisfy that itch in your life off that style of business, unless you're the type of person that was just driven off running efficient things, then you'd get the biggest kick out of that.
Well, I don't know what you are. I've said this in other podcasts with other people. I've probably said this online. I'm not an entrepreneur. Like my default is not how do I build this? How do I make a business? How do I sustain a business? How do I grow? How do I share this knowledge? My brain just goes to, how do I make videos? How do I have fun having videos? And it's almost entirely rooted in, when I was a kid, I loved having fun making videos. Me and my friends would make skate videos and any class where we could make a video if as a project, we would, as young as I can remember. So I find no joy. I find no actual fulfillment in the running the business side of it, which is not great. Because it's very important to learn and to figure that stuff out. And so almost all of those lessons for me have been just, you know, figured out the hard way.
What I love about what you just walked me through is I relate, but then also I can hear advice that I've gotten from people in the past when I've said what you just said.
Yeah.
There's people that have heard me say similar things. Then, dude, it's simple. Just like get this, do that, install this software, do this scheduling thing, and it's like done. Hmm. And it's so hard to understand where they're coming from when your reality to get into that headspace seems so impossible. They're just going, no, it's simple. It's just do this. It's like, wait, okay, so the last 15 years of trying to do this has not been simple, thank you. And I've had more than just you tell me this is simple. Yeah. So it's not simple.
I wonder what me 10 years ago, if I would have done anything different, if I would have been able to see forward and us having these conversations where it's still like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Right? Like, when is this going to feel like there's some level of automation, even if it's like just in my own head? Yeah. I wonder if I would have done things different if I would have known that the reality is probably that same, like wherever you go, there you are. It's just, there is an element of that's just how my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean don't try and do better. That doesn't mean that there are some of those parts of my personality aren't flawed and need actual work. But there is also an element of just my brain has been wired to work a certain way, to find joy and fulfillment in certain things, to process information in certain ways. And so for me, it's just not simple. And it probably never will be simple.
Yeah. I would love to just hire a business manager, but then part of hiring a business manager is if they are good, they want to be paid well. And if they looked at how I'm currently running my business, they'd go, yeah, this is not the business I want. So it's like this catch thing, right?
A smart enough business person would not get involved with us.
And this is the danger of offering unsolicited feedback to the internet. And this is a message I want to keep evangelizing is please, please don't do that. If you just go, I have this problem with this, there will be 30 replies going, oh, you're using the wrong application.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, okay, fine. You want me to use a different one, but this is the one, this is the application I have.
Yeah.
And I want to learn how to get over this little hiccup.
You're right. I mean, this metaphor is into pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
2020 has not been a simple year for anyone. But what's interesting is a lot of the conversation that gets loud is like, don't you see? The answer is so simple. If you just did this, if you just did that. And it's, we do so well to tell other people what their easy answers are.
Right.
And then we all go home at night and we just like cry into our pillows, you know?
Yes.
Everyone preaching simple answers for others is just equally, I mean, I don't know everyone, but let's say everyone is just equally confused and conflicted about their own issues.
Yeah, if you want to give unsolicited feedback, I suggest trying to understand, ask permission maybe, and try to just actually understand the problem. Because I don't know if unsolicited feedback has ever helped me arrive at a conclusion that made change in me. Most ways I've changed in the past is because I've come to the realization that I needed to change. So the people that were trying to help me in the past, it actually would have been better if they asked questions.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the resources of our brain and our creativity and how hard it is to run businesses. Would you agree that you're on a given month-to-month basis, you are using most of your video kind of related energy already?
Honestly, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Personally, no, I wouldn't say that I'm there.
And do you think, okay, talk me through that. Do you feel you want more? Do you want to do more? Are you satisfied with the amount of things you're making?
I definitely want to do more. It's complicated because I'm not someone that says like—
No, see, Jesse, it's simple. All you got to do is make a list.
No, I'm not someone that's like, I can't see my year in the future and be like, my goal is weekly videos or my goal is bi-weekly videos or anything like that, because my months change so much. You know, anyone with young kids knows that like on a month-to-month basis, they're new kids with new challenges, right? And 1 month, great, I'm sleeping awesome. Suddenly the next month, it's like a sleep regression or something, and I'm totally fried and can't think through the day.
I can relate.
So yeah, exactly. So I'm okay with knowing right now, this period of my life, I am not operating at my full creative capacity, but that's just because that capacity is getting chewed up by, you know, life. We are such like holistic beings that like every aspect of our life does play into every aspect of our life, right? If we've got conflict at home with our wives or something like that, that's naturally going to affect our creativity. But I think the inverse is also true. And so for me, I find it's actually important that I do preserve those moments when I am finding joy and like loving the process of creation of videos, because it also plays out in the other aspects of my life. I'm more likely actually to be a better husband or father after at least being like uplifted by the creative process, and vice versa. When I have like great times with the family and stuff, I'm more likely to want to be creative. And it's all so frustratingly intertwined.
Yes.
I wish they could be compartmentalized parts of my personality.
But they're not.
But they're not.
And that's where, for me, when I think about, okay, like I have three entire mini documentaries shot.
That's a lot.
Three trips, Jesse, that I spent thousands of my own dollars to go shoot.
Yeah.
The problem I'm in now is my mental resource of turning that footage into a finished thing that I will like is finite. And I'm using it on all these urgent things that are right in front of me. And 2 years later, I'm still getting texts from my friends that were on that trip going, hey, when's that dropping? And it's interesting to me because the first times I was asked that, it'd be like, oh, my goal is in about 2 months. And I just pictured and I've been doing that cycle with those friends for over 2 years now.
That's not ideal.
And part of it is, okay, there's layers about why opening those edits are hard for me because, hey, maybe I didn't think the story was as good, so I'm not as energized about it once it's done. There's other things going on there where I know, hey, this editing this story will be hard, and knowing that before I open the project is a barrier to actually doing it because I don't see the first step to take. I just see the whole project as a whole, which to me just kind of paralyzes to the point where it's like hard to get the edit even open.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to start your own podcast? Head over to Transistor and use my coupon, transistor.fm/Justin. You'll get 15% off your first year of podcast hosting.
Eventually, I just go, okay, do I actually care?
Oof.
You know?
I mean, you're right. And it's, I think the topic of like old projects is a very interesting one because I know almost every filmmaker I know relates to that, which is like you have all this passion and then if you let a week go by, it just dwindles. But I think what you're saying is right. It's not even like the passion that goes away. It's that you don't, that energy is now moved on to whatever other more pressing thing is happening right now. And for us,
sponsored videos this month, which new products are coming out, which things do I need to make for clients so that way I get a paycheck?
Yeah. Or heck, you might even have another trip that you've done since then that you're just more excited about because it's more at the front of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting back to those old projects can just feel absolutely impossible. And in my case so far, that has been the case. It's because I didn't finish them. So therefore, impossible.
We're going to take a quick little break here to tell you about our sponsor for this episode. And this episode is self-sponsored. Jesse didn't agree to this ahead of time, so I would love to surprise him with a bunch of new students for his online course. If you want to be an online video creator, you need to learn how to tell full stories in under a minute. Short form storytelling is a superpower for the modern age, and Jesse is an absolute master at this. Thankfully, he created this really good online course walking through his entire process. From those amazing transitions to comedic relief, he covers it all. I personally have watched this course and was really blown away by how much value Jesse managed to pack in. And it's not one of those overly long, just ridiculously boring courses. It's really well created so that way you don't feel like you're wasting your time. There's already over 2,000 stoked video creators who've taken this course. And I think if you're listening to this podcast, it could be a great fit for you. I reached out to Moment and got a custom discount code created just for this podcast for you, the listeners. The code is LEARN. learn from Jesse, no spaces. You can see that in the show notes as well. You can find Jesse's lesson online by simply Googling Jesse's Moment Lesson. And in the checkout, once you've punched in your address, a discount box appears on the payment page and it gets you 15% off if you use the code LEARNFROMJESSE. I'd love to surprise Jesse with a ton of extra sales to close off the year. So if you're interested, now is the time. As of recording, this Moment is also running a buy one, get one on some of their courses. So it's a ridiculous value. Now, back to the show.
I think there's this funny thing that it's easy to say this is true for YouTubers, but I think it's true for everyone I know that starts freelance in video that doesn't go like the film school or a more traditional film route, which is we're used to having full control over every part of the process, right? I produced it, I conceptualized it, I shot it, I edit, I do all of it. But the fact is, like, good video is almost never done that way. I don't know why it's so hard to just say, like, let me release this creative control, especially if you really don't want to edit it.
Well, it's hard because we know other people won't care about it the way that we care about it, especially when they're your own passion projects.
Yeah.
And that's being able to energize your creative collaborators to see a vision that you see and get them invested in it. That's a whole skill set that I lack entirely.
Yeah.
But it is tough because you know deep down the way that I could edit this would end up at a certain result that I can guarantee I would appreciate.
Yeah, you'd be happy-ish with it anyways.
And the fear would be if I hand over footage that I know has issues fundamentally because you remember that while you were shooting it, there was hiccups. The fear can be, will they solve those problems in a way that is actually good for the story? Mm-hmm. And there's all this baggage with that.
Yeah.
When you were shooting wedding videos, when you were shooting daily stories, when you are now on YouTube making YouTube videos, you'd made this comment earlier about how, hey, when I was doing weddings, I was running out of the resource to do that. I can't remember. I don't think you used the resource.
Yeah, no, it wasn't resource. I was just saying how, like, almost all of my progressions, almost all the reason that I switch up what kind of videos I'm making or I shift gears or I jump platforms is almost never because I think it's a smart business move. It's almost always because I'm exhausted of the thing I was doing before. So what's interesting is when I was shooting weddings, I was still doing it as my full-time job. Like, I was shooting often two in a weekend, sometimes more, and I'd have tons of these weddings to edit. I would procrastinate by making Instagram stories, right? Because I didn't have this creative joy in the wedding because it was just the business part of it. So I was like, oh, do you know what I'll do? I'll feel like I'm still doing work by making a separate video. And I'd make my own Instagram stories. And it just felt so good because it was a little naughty, right? I shouldn't have been making these stories. I should have been finishing those weddings. And the story that I would tell myself, whether this is true or not, who knows, is that by creating this Instagram story, by editing this, I've gotten the ball rolling on my creative brain, on editing, on being in Final Cut or something like that. And once I finish this, I'll just like flow back into the wedding and it'll, you know, have this snowball effect. I don't know if that ever turned out to be true. The point of all this is that what ended up happening is that over time, I no longer needed to book weddings because now I was getting sponsored ads on these Instagram stories and I was actually starting to be able to provide for my family just on the Instagram stories. And I'm sure people listening can figure out what happens next, which is, oh, now Instagram stories is my client. That's the thing I am supposed to be doing. And so I would start working on YouTube videos to procrastinate from making the Instagram stories that I had to make, because now that it's a little naughty, that it's the thing I'm not supposed to be doing, that's a little fun. It's a little like, I don't know, it feels like I snuck out of class to go to the beach or something like that. I mean, thankfully, a lot of the videos I make couldn't quite literally feel like, oh, we went down to the beach and went swimming, and that's the video. But now, same kind of thing has happened where, oh, YouTube is like a proper job for me. Mm-hmm. I can actually pay the bills. I don't need to take on freelance work, even though I still do sometimes if the project sounds fun. Now my brain's like, all right, it's looking around. What's the next escape? Mm-hmm. Where am I going to shift gears to? And I don't know that at this point, that's actually what I should do. I think if anything, I'm learning, oh, this is this is a pattern of behavior that I've put forth in my life, at the very least that I've put forth for the last 10 years of filmmaking. Now, what I'm realizing is I actually probably should try and push through that rather than, you know, get this kind of resistance of being creative in the thing that's also my job. I think the thing is I need to just climb the wall, or I need to break down the wall. I don't know, but I don't need to, I probably shouldn't turn, but I might.
Jesse, I love that. I love hearing you describe that. And I do wonder for you, how much longer will that be creatively interesting at all?
Yeah.
Because there is certainly creatively stimulating and interesting and new layers now. And if that's what we're hunting and chasing, I almost wonder if there's an outlet that you could find. So let's say you just keep applying focused effort towards pushing through the current wall of, hey, this has gotten, I figured this out a little bit, so it's losing some of its stimulation. I wonder if as you're pushing on that and figuring that out a little bit, if there's some other completely unrelated area of life where some of that new and exciting stimulating energy can be found.
Right.
And at a time, you know, maybe you pick up making toothpick sculptures or...
Yeah, maybe I make toothpick sculptures. No, but I have thought about, like, maybe it's time to find some hobbies that are separate.
Yes.
I mean, I love hobbies. One wheeling is truly, it's practical, it's work, but it's a hobby. Like, it is a way that I find.
Can I make a observation of what I've seen your hobbies to be?
Yeah.
One wheeling.
Yeah.
And Kickstarter ring.
I do like
those are the two things I see you do a great job at being as your hobby.
Well, I mean, I have not been running much lately, so I should be getting back into that based on how my brain's working and how little I've been running. Mm-hmm. But running was that for me. That's why I got into it. I was like, I need a thing that's about not work. It's about moving my body, because we edit for, you know, 14-hour days and stuff.
And you're always chasing yourself. You're always trying to get a little better. It's an mm-hmm. area to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I want to start playing more with music stuff. Because truly nothing makes me happier in the world other than my children and family. I don't know. Maybe that's not even true. Then music. Music's my favorite thing in the whole world. And there's a deep sadness inside of me that says, like, you know this about you and you do nothing about it. So
there's also a sadness in the heart of your wife who dreams of one day you finally fully realizing your boy band potential. And I would say I've taken on a part of that sadness as well, not anywhere close to Emma's sadness.
Yeah.
But I do feel that there's an avenue that needs to be expressed.
Yeah.
And I feel a sadness that the world doesn't get that from you.
Yeah. And maybe it never will. Maybe it'll just be
I
for
almost
me.
Thought you were about to like break into a little song or jingle. The way you just jingled yourself just there and the little sly smile.
I'm just restless.
I thought we were going to get a little song. Jesse, do you think people enjoy hearing us just talk about this?
I have no idea, honestly.
I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I had this idea that, whoa, if we just sat down and recorded things like us talking about our work process, Of course that would be interesting because I wish I could hear more of those conversations. So if I would like it, maybe there's other people who do. But as we're sitting here talking, I can't help but wonder, would is this actually adding something positive?
Yeah, my brain's constantly like, what's the angle that like, or what's the section that people would like tune in? What's the section that people would tune out?
Yes.
And I haven't been able to figure it out.
Neither have I. Because if we're not trying to be prescriptive about, hey, we're experts on this, we found the answers.
Yeah.
Is it actually interesting to hear dysfunctional, procrastinating, self-sabotaging creatives talk about them self-sabotaging themselves?
I listened to Phoebe Bridgers on a podcast recently, and the interviewer asked her if she likes that show Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. And she was like, no, I hate it. I want there to be answers, right? She's like, get back to me when you solved it. And part of me wonders if that's what's happening right here, is that people are just like, okay, you know, we want to be somewhere between prescriptive in answers and just whining. Somewhere between the two.
I totally agree. I would love to explore doing segments with you in this show. Okay. Little bits, you know?
Wait, let's just break it into like 8 segments every time. It's like, you get 5 minutes to whine about your work.
No, exactly. That's exactly what I have in mind.
That's your period of time.
But they need a cool jingle and they need a name and things like that. We would love, first of all, just your feedback. If you're listening or watching or whatever this show, please find us on Twitter, The Levi Allen.
Jesse Driftwood 1.
And just let us know if there's aspects about this that are connecting with you that you would maybe think we should double down on or what. We're very open to what is working.
Yeah.
We will probably keep doing the conversations that we think we need to be having, because that's half of what the excuse of doing this is just to talk about the current problems we're facing, and maybe you can help me come up with a solution. And
oh, I mean, especially the first time we sat down and recorded something, I actually found, just personally, I found the conversation was really helpful for me to find parts of my brain that I hadn't connected before. Today, I'm much more fried, but I'll say it felt a little like therapy in that the right questions prompt me to find the answers for myself. And I think that's why, like, people just giving unsolicited advice is so not helpful, but people asking questions so that you can come to that exact same answer is that you need to be the one to feel like this is my idea.
Yes.
5 a.m. wake ups or a notebook or whatever those things, it needs to feel like I thought of this and not, you know, that buff dude who works 28 hours a day told me to.
I thought you were going to say that buff dude who is from BC and lives in a van. I thought that's where you were going with that.
No.
I was about to be like, Jesse, I'm not that buff. I haven't picked up weights in 5 years, but.
No, you're not buff.
Okay. So this segment, I'm going to find a jingle for it. Maybe. I want to just try it with you right now. And this segment is called Now, Now, Now.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. We haven't done it. What is it?
Okay. So Now, Now, Now is the part of the show where we just say, hey, this is what we are actually physically and mentally and spiritually spending our creative resources on currently. Okay. Like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah. Right now, what am I doing right now?
Wait, so do you agree with the segment?
Yeah, I'm fine with the segment. I mean, have you listened to Dad's Rides, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like they'll do that part where they're just like, let's just walk through our running week.
Right.
Which I think is a helpful format. Truthfully, where I'm at right now is trying to recover from feeling just mentally dead. And I think that's just going to involve like just a couple passion projects anyways. Just things for the sake of it.
Now, now, now.
Now, now, now.
That's an homage to Derek Sivers, who recommends that people on their personal websites has a now page. This is what I'm working on now. Instead of about pages where it's, these are the things I've accomplished in the past.
You like worked with Nike 12 years ago and you're like, brands include Nike.
Yes.
And that's it.
Exactly. Just Nike.
Yeah.
But what are you doing now? So
what are you doing now?
For me, my wife and I are on this, and my child are on a Canada-wide adventure where we mainly just go park by lakes in our van and just hang out.
That sounds nice.
It is really good.
Yeah.
It also has some unique challenges. We'd imagined doing it in a warmer place.
Right, but you can't really go south of the border now.
The borders aren't doing the border thing. And so that is what my life is currently. And doing this now was very, very helpful for me because I feel usually we need to do a full podcast on the difference between the monotony of your normal and then the benefit of routine. Cause I crave certain routine because I know I'm a better person when I have routine. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you're in this monotonous normal, for me, I will just get in this time loop that doesn't get me to a place that's helpful.
This trip is a bit of a reset. So then what's on the other side of this?
That is the impending reality. And usually midway into a trip, I will start getting this sense of the stimulation drive coming back, where I'm starting to go, oh, these are the things I could be doing if I was at home with a routine. Let's go do it.
Right.
and spending a little bit of time in your space, because usually life on the road lacks a lot of routine in most traditional sense.
Yeah.
Spending time in Hamilton here, we've been here now weeks.
Yeah.
Has been really cool to actually have a brief moment within our larger trip of some structure.
Yep.
And it's actually been very helpful for me to be here. And there's some boxes I had to check and projects I had to finish while I was here. And that was good. That
when you first showed up, you're like, would it be okay if I just like sat at a desk somewhere at the studio? I, you know, I've got some videos I just need to finish. I just need somewhere where I can edit and focus. And that feels like a lifetime ago now.
Now we've got to drive home. And what's on my plate is this new possibility of having an editor helping me accomplish some of these things that I keep pushing off. Because my goals is, I don't want to be a full-time YouTuber. Right. I don't want that for the very reasons where we're talking about, hey, when you're doing Instagram stories every day, suddenly you need to find an outlet from the Instagram stories.
Yeah.
I would love for YouTube to stay a place that for a majority of the time is a sandbox where I can explore, I can make, I can do, and it's not my livelihood.
Yeah.
Because that feels so fickle and not reliable and at the whims of people's attention on if I'm relevant or not, or if that just seems like a bad idea for my mental health, for everything, you know, views needing to equal money.
Yeah, it's very complicated because I feel like what I want actually is to be a full-time YouTuber. And what I'm saying actually is what I want is to get paid to play. What I want is to just be in that process where like the creating is what I get to do. But the reality is that's just not the case.
So what I'm thinking about now, especially as this year comes to, usually when a year comes to an end, I feel a lot of the resentment of what I didn't accomplish in a year. It's the classic, we overestimate what we can accomplish in a year and underestimate what we can accomplish in 10. That is my life story.
Right.
Every fall, winter, I just feel this massive resentment of things I did not finish. So here I am on the road, actually taking some practical steps to finishing some of those things that I usually feel resentment about. And that's making me feel positive, because what I'm trying to do right now in my life is make space for some of these deep, meaningful projects I've been working at, but not finishing. And I'm talking like overarching business projects, my life goal projects, not just specific videos. There's these things that I've known I wanted to do that I haven't made margin for. And I'm energized by the fact that I'm taking some of the steps to make space for them. Jesse, where should people check out what you're doing right now online?
Oh, I mean, people should definitely check out my YouTube channel, because in my opinion, I put more work into each video than I probably should.
In my opinion, yes.
Yeah.
Getting to witness it firsthand, I agree.
So I think it would be nice if people would go watch my YouTube videos.
Yeah. I think people should follow me on Instagram at Levi Allen.
Interesting.
Those are my most up-to-date updates about what life's looking like right now. And I think you should go follow me there.
I think you are correct. I haven't posted on Instagram more than once a month, probably in the last 2 years. So you actually should get followed on Instagram. You're pretty good at it.
Oh, gosh. What would be a fun way to kind of like hit them with a zinger at the end of, if this is the Make Stuff Club, if we are in a club of trying to make stuff, I've always wanted to be in a club.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I was in an archery club when I was in the fourth grade, and that was amazing. And I've been chasing.
Let fourth graders have bow and arrows?
Dude.
That's a terrible idea.
It was amazing.
I'm sure.
Highlight of my life. And I've been chasing that the feeling of being in a club ever since.
Huh.
So I'm making my own club and forcing you to join me in it. Should we invite the listeners? Can we like hit them with a little quip at the end being like, and remember, join the club? That sounds so not what I'm going
really
for.
Really stupid. That sounds very stupid.
Can we
please join our club? We're lonely. I don't know.
Come up with something. On the spot.
I can't. I got nothing. I told you I'm fried.
So what do we say here?
I don't know. It smells.
What is the final word?
I don't know.
Okay.
You can ask that question and with more words, I'm not going to have the answer. I'm wearing my headphones on my eyeballs now. That's how you know that I have no more.
We would love to continue the conversation with you on the Twitters. Use hashtag MakeStuffClub to get our attention. You can also find us at Jesse Driftwood and The Levi Allen, both spelled out in the show notes down below or wherever you find them in your podcast app. This episode was edited by me, Levi Allen. Our theme music is by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Oh, that is fun to say in our own podcast after loving, love, love, loving Mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder's tracks. We hope to be back in your feeds this time next week if we get the show up on time. Peace.
Podcast hosting is provided by Transistor.fm. They host our MP3 files, generate our RSS feed, provide us with analytics, and help us distribute the show to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. If you want to start your own podcast or you want to switch to Transistor, go to transistor.fm/Justin and get 15% off your first year.